Turning your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 35, we are going to look at Exodus 35 and 36, and we're only going to be in Exodus a few more weeks, but I hope you've enjoyed the study. There's a lot of depth and richness, and one of these days we will come back and study specifically the tabernacle and articles within the tabernacle and the elements of the priesthood, the clothing of the priesthood. But I wanted to give us an overview of the book of Exodus, and we've got about three more services in Exodus, and then we're going to move to another book. But today I want to talk about how to give, because we have this example of the Israelites in the Old Testament. They have come out of the land of Egypt, and they've come into the promise, or getting ready to come into the promised land. But before they come into the promised land, God gives them these instructions on building the tabernacle. And if you look at the articles and the elements of the tabernacle, there was some extravagant stuff that was required to build the various elements of this tabernacle. And I know anytime we talk about giving, sometimes it makes people uncomfortable. And that says more about you than it does about me, by the way. But men I used to work with, I used to work with a group of men, and for a period of time I was working in living in Fort Worth, working in North Dallas. We was working on an office building, and there was three of us that would ride from Fort Worth to North Dallas in a pickup truck every day, company truck, to do work. I was working as an electrician. And these guys didn't go to church, and they knew I was a seminary student, and they complained all the time, and here's what I heard them say often. Every time I go to church, all they do is ask you for money. Every time I go to church, all they do is ask you for money. And I know some new churches, when they're planted, they're so sensitive about that they don't even take up an offering in the worship service. But I think you fail to recognize what an offering is. It is an act of worship. And I believe that giving is a responsibility. But more importantly, it is a privilege and an opportunity. So we bless people by giving them an opportunity to give to the Lord and to His work and what He's doing. You have an opportunity to partner with what God is up to when you give in the context of the local church. There are three God-ordained institutions in the Scripture. One is the home. One is the government. And the other is the church. The home requires our financial resources for survival. You don't have any financial resources. You can't put gas in your car. You can't put food on your table. You can't have a shelter over your bed, over your head. You will not have a bed to sleep in. You will not have clothes to wear. So the home requires our financial resources for survival. The government demands our financial resources for survival. It's not optional. No. That's the reason you got to fill out those IRS forms every year in our government. They require that you support them. But when it comes to the church, we plead. We plead for your financial resources so that ministry can be accomplished. And all three God-ordained institutions, they're worthy of our support. But especially the home and the church. And so we shouldn't complain when God gives us an opportunity to invest in really the cause of eternity, the building the kingdom of God. And so I want us to look at the example of giving in Exodus 35 and 36, and we're going to read some verses as we go along. But I want to ask this question: what can we learn from this Old Testament story? What principles can we learn from this Old Testament story? There's many places we could have gone in Scripture to paint these principles, and these are principles that I have shared before in various sermons and elements that I've preached since I've been here, but I want to hit them again in the context of Exodus. What can we learn from this story? First of all, God wants us to give willingly. God wants us to give willingly. When we look at Exodus chapter 35, verse 4, Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded, saying, take from among you a contribution to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution. Gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material. Fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, and porpoise skins and acacia wood, and oil for the lighting and spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastplate, for the breastpiece. Notice what he said in verse 5. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart. A willing heart. So when we give, we should give from a willing heart. Now notice the Israelites, they have been, I want to remind you where they've come from. They've been enslaved for 400 years. They hadn't been used to having a whole lot. But when they came out of the land of Egypt, God brought them out with a high hand. They came out as an army that had spoiled the Egyptians. By the time the 10th plague occurs in the book of Exodus, the Egyptians are so grateful to get rid of the Israelites. God told the Israelites, when you leave, ask your Egyptian neighbors for their riches, for their jewels, for their substance, and they will give them to you because they're so glad to get rid of you after all the plagues that have occurred in the land of Egypt. So that's exactly what the Israelites did. When they left, they asked the Egyptians for this gold and silver and precious stones and all these rich and lavish garments and material with which God is going to use that stuff to build the tabernacle and to support the children of Israel when they get in the land of promise. But they've been slaves for 400 years. Now, most of us, if we have been enslaved and had very little for 400 years and finally we hit the lottery and get more than we could ever imagine, what do we want to do? We want to cling to it. And we want to lavish it upon ourselves. We want to spend it upon ourselves. We want to use it for ourselves. But the children of Israel had a different perspective altogether. They wanted to give it willingly to the Lord. And God says, I don't want it unless you're willing to give it. I gave it to you. The Egyptians gave it to you. I have blessed you. You were in slavery and bondage for 400 years. And now I have blessed you. But when you give this gift, it is an offering. It is not a requirement. I simply want you to give it on the basis of your willingness. Now, why were they so willing to lavish their riches and give it to the Lord? Well, I think their willingness was based on a couple of factors. First of all, they had a recognition that God's hand was in the material blessings they had received. They realized they would not have these blessings had God not had his hand upon them. God had not blessed them, they wouldn't have it to give. It is always more blessed to give than receive because that means you have something to give. Before they had nothing to give, now they've got something to give and they recognize that God had given them what they had, so they were willing to give it back for His honor and for His glory. The second was they recognized God's leadership in building the tabernacle. God was going to bless them not only with the tabernacle, but after the tabernacle was built, He's going to come and indwell the tabernacle with His presence. And they wanted God in their midst. And so they recognized God's hand, God's instruction in building the tabernacle, and they wanted to be a part of what God was up to. Listen, the Church of Jesus Christ is the only instrument God is going to use to advance His kingdom here on earth. What is His kingdom here on earth? It is the rule and reign in God's God in the hearts and lives of people. God is using His church to accomplish His eternal plan and purpose. There's no other organization, there's no other institution, there's no individual God is going to use to accomplish that. He is going to use His church. And so the church is worthy of our support. If we want to get in on what God is up to, if we want to participate in God's plan for our community and for our world, we need to be involved in giving on a willing basis to the work of the Lord. Have we learned to give willingly? Our lack of giving may be a result of a lack of motivation. And our lack of motivation may be a result of the fact that we have not recognized God's blessings in our life. What did Brother David Ring say a few weeks ago? First message he preached to us, I am blessed. I am blessed. Now those blessings extend beyond a material blessing. But my friends, if God has blessed you, we need to be a blessing. If God has blessed you, we need to pass on that blessing to others. Not just in a material sense, but in a spiritual sense. If God has blessed you with salvation, you need to pass on that blessing to others. If God has blessed you in a material way, you need to pass on that blessing to others. It is not, God did not bless us so that we can consume it all upon ourselves. God blessed us so that we could be a blessing. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. Have we recognized God's blessing in our lives? Have we recognized God's leadership in the ministry that we are engaged in? Just imagine you had a friend, a really good friend. He says, I'm going to come visit, and when I come to visit, I'm going to bring you something very special. And he comes, stops on, knocks on your door, you open the door, he comes in, visits for a little while, and then he opens a suitcase full of money, and in that suitcase is $5 million. $5 million. He said, this is all yours. God has blessed me, and I want to bless you. God has laid it up on my heart to bless you, and so here's $5 million. It's yours to do with whatever you want. Okay, that's good. Man, you're a good friend. Thank you for blessing me. And then my wife, she says, Jay, it's time for supper. And I said, man, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat. Can I call a cab to take you to the airport? Because it's time for me and my wife to eat. Now, do you think that would be appropriate? You think that it would be appropriate for me to sit down and eat and not even offer my friend who just gave me a $5 million gift, an invitation to my table, or even offer him a ride to the airport? Can you imagine that? And yet that's the way we treat God every time the offering plate is passed. He has blessed us tremendously. He's blessed us abundantly. And we give grudgingly, if at all. We complain about what God expects of us, what God desires of us, and we do not recognize the fact that He's the one who's blessed us in the first place. When we give, God wants us to give willingly. Secondly, God wants us to give liberally. Look at what they gave. It says they gave gold and silver and bronze. Now, bronze wasn't as expensive as the gold or the silver. But also, if you look at these various elements, the fine linen, the blue, purple, scarlet material, the ram skin dyed red, the porpoise skins, the acacia wood, the oil for lighting, the spices, the fragrant incense, some of these were extravagant materials and worth more than the gold or silver. When you look at the precious stones that were set in the ephod and in the breastplate of the priest, those were precious stones. When you see the various elements that were built within the tabernacle and the way they were built, and some of the altars were covered with bronze, but some were covered with pure gold. It was an extravagant building. And yet God says, would you give? And He didn't ask them to give just a little bit. He asked them to give a lot. You see, they were able to give extravagantly. They were able to give liberally because they recognized God as the very source of their blessing. They realized that if it was not for God, they would not have had it to give in the first place. And so it was no big deal for them to give back. My grandmother, she lived to be in her 90s. She passed away. The last 2 years of her life were not good. She stayed in a bed and couldn't communicate, couldn't talk. I think at times she knew we were there. I could see when I'd have a conversation with her, sometimes a tear would stream down her eye. But prior to that, every time I'd walk in the doors of my granny, she'd always, the first thing she'd ask, can I fix you something to eat? Can I fix you something to eat? Have you had lunch? Have you had supper? If it's midday, have you had a snack? And she fixed the best custard pies I've ever had in my life. I don't know if you've had egg custard pies or not. I don't see them around too often, but my, she could, when they were hot, just came out of the oven, they were just the best things in the world. And she loved fried apple pies. And just for a snack in the middle of the day, she had fixed fried apple pies. And when you ate one, you couldn't just get by with eating one. You had to eat two, and you had to take three or four with you. And she made sure that when she fed you liberally. She fed you extravagantly. I mean, this wasn't a little snack she would fix. She would fix a full-blown meal. And she wanted to make sure you had food. When your plate started getting a little bit slim, she wanted to fill it back up again. That's just the way Granny was. She wanted to take care of her grandkids. She wanted to take care of her kids. In fact, she did that. Anybody that walked in the door, if she had company, she wanted to make sure they were taken care of. When I eat in a restaurant, I love Diet Cokes. Did I hear an amen? And I don't know what it is about Diet Cokes, but when you have one, you got to have another and another and another. And when I go into a restaurant, I don't like doing these waitress calls. You know, or clicking your straw in the ice. I want them to be liberal with their Diet Cokes. I want them to... When they see that thing about half empty, I want them to fill it up again. If you're a coffee drinker and you go eat at a breakfast someplace, you want your coffee cup. You don't want that coffee to get cold. You want it full. You want them to minister to you. You want them to keep that cup overflowing. I want to tell you, when we give to God, we need to give to Him liberally, because He's blessed us. He's given to us generously. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What could we ever return to Him that would even equal that? He gave His only Son so that we might live forever and eternity to Him. And if we signed a check and gave Him everything that we have in our bank accounts, in our homes, everything that we possess, my friends, it would be just that much in comparison to what He's given us for eternity. So when we give, we need to give liberally. You cannot outgive God. God will bless every penny you give in His name. You see examples of this throughout the Scripture. There's the widow and her mite. The Bible tells us that that day there were many who came by and threw lots of money in the offering plate and got recognized for it. But one little widow, she came in and she threw in all that she possessed, but it was just a penny. And Jesus said, of all those that gave, she gave the most today, because she gave of all of her substance. All of it. She gave it all. She didn't have anything left. God measured not how much she had left. I mean, how much she put in the offering plate, but how much she had left after she gave. And she gave it all. She gave it all. And God recognized the liberality of her giving and recorded it in Scripture for us. You think about the little boy and his fish. He goes to the sermon. Now, I'm going to tell you something, that Jesus preached long enough that the boy had to take his lunch with him, by the way. So you fuss at me. Just bring your lunch next Sunday. We'll be there. The little boy brought his lunch to hear Jesus preach. And that day, thousands were on the hillside listening to Jesus preach. And they start getting hungry. And the disciples say, Jesus, send them away. They need to be fed. And He says, well, you feed them. They said, we can't afford to feed all these people. He says, well, what do you have? He says, the only thing we have to feed them. A little boy brought his lunch today. Got a couple of small fish and a few loaves of bread. And Jesus said, just ask if we can borrow that bread. Borrow the fish. Literally, borrow it. So they went and asked the little boy for his lunch. And he said, well, Jesus wants my lunch. He can have it. And He gives Jesus his lunch, and Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus took the bread, and He blessed it, and He broke it, and distributed it to the people. And after it was distributed, they took up the fragments thereof, the scraps, and they took up 12 baskets full. Here's a little boy going home after lunch with 12 basketfuls of leftovers. I think the disciples, he couldn't carry all the baskets. And the reason he had 12 baskets, each one of the disciples had to follow him home to his mom, carrying one of the baskets of all the fragments they picked up. You see, Jesus returned to that little boy more than he ever gave. But the good news is that little boy is willing to give everything that he had to Jesus. And his story of giving meant so much to Jesus that Jesus inspired his gospel writers to put it in the gospels. Each one of the gospels tells this story of this little boy and his giving. There's Mary and her extravagant perfume that she poured over the feet of Jesus. Judas thought it was a waste. This was almost a year's worth of work, Lord. That was the equivalent of a year's pay. That perfume, she just poured it over your feet, your stinky feet, Lord. We could have sold that money and given it to the poor. Jesus says, hush. Hush, Judas. She has anointed my body for burial. Anytime you give Jesus something in an extravagant manner, he takes notice, and it's not wasted when you give it for the sake of the kingdom. You look at the Good Samaritan. He saw a person who was in need on the side of the road. He had no connection with the man. In fact, if anything, there was a prejudice that could have caused him to pass by on the other side. But instead of exercising prejudice, he decided to exercise liberality. And he gave to this man in such a way that he put him on his donkey. He carried him to the nearest inn. He made sure that his wounds were bound up. He made sure that a doctor cared for him. And he provided for his medical bills until he returned. Jesus recorded that story as an example of one who should be a good neighbor. God is always pleased when we give liberally. We need to give willingly, we need to give liberally, and we should give completely. We should be giving completely. Look at verse 20. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence. Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting, for all of its service, and for the holy garments. Then all whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets and all articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord, every man who had in his possession blue and purple and scarlet material, and fine linen and goat's hairs and ram skins dyed red and porpoise skins, they brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver and bronze brought the Lord's contribution. Every man who had in his possession acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the skilled women spun with their hands and brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen. All the women whose hearts stirred with the skill spun the goat's hair. The rulers brought the onyx stones and the stones for setting for the ephod and for the breastpiece, and the spice and the oil for the lighting, for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. The Israelites and all the men and women whose heart moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done brought a free will offering to the Lord. It's amazing. It's amazing. And then you go down to chapter 36, verse 3. They received from Moses all the contributions which the sons of Israel had brought to perform the work and the construction of the sanctuary. And they still continue bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. This wasn't a weekly offering. They would see a need and they just kept bringing. They just kept bringing. They just kept bringing. And all the skillful men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work. And look at verse 6. So Moses issued a command. A proclamation was circulated throughout the camp saying, let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary. Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more, for the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to perform it. I would love to say next Sunday, don't bring any more offerings. We got more than enough until Jesus comes. But the only way we could ever say that is if we gave the way they gave. They gave completely. They gave until the job was done. They gave until the task was complete. They gave completely. And when we give, we should give completely. The Israelites did not leave the job half done. Can you imagine? Half the tabernacle goes up. Half the elements are built. No. That would have brought dishonor to the name of the Lord. They gave sacrificially of their time. They gave sacrificially of their finances until the job was completely done. This was not some half-hearted attempt to meet a need. This was an act of worship. Giving should be an act of worship. Giving should be a part of who we are. When we give, do we give a token gift or do we give a sacrificial gift? Most of us, I'm afraid, most of us do not understand what it means to give sacrificially. My heart was broken several years ago, a number of years ago, when I heard some of our international missionaries from Transkei, which is in southern Africa, bordering South Africa, is a country of South Africa. And they put together a budget. They were one of a handful of missionaries in their in that country trying to plant churches and share the gospel with people who needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for this country of several million people, they had a budget of $150,000. And they sent in their budget to the International Mission Board, and the International Mission Board said, the budget's too much, we can't afford it. They had to cut their budget from $150,000 to $60,000. And they shared with the Christians of Transkei that, you know, that we're not going to be able to do some of the things we wanted to do in ministry this next year because the funds are just not there to do it. And I listened to their stories as those missionary churches, as those missionaries went into those churches and told them of the need. The people wanted to reach their own people with Christ, for Christ, in such a way that they literally, literally gave just about everything they had to do it. This was a church, a very poor church. They would have meat once a week in their meals. That's all they could afford. Very poor church. And they told the story of how these folks were selling their chickens and their goats and their cows in order to give money to the missionary work. And instead of having meat once a week in their food, they would only eat meat once a month because they wanted to give to the cause of Christ. My friends, we don't know that kind of sacrifice, not here in America. We don't know that kind of sacrificial giving. We don't know that kind of complete giving. My heart was broken. As I listened to their stories and realized the need, my heart was broken, and God laid on my heart what to do that year. And I want you to know, whatever God lays on your heart to do, you can always trust Him. You can always trust Him to provide for you and care for you. Because I want to tell you, it was a big step of faith on my part to do what I did that year. But I don't ever regret making the decision we made and making the commitment we made. But even that year, my friends, I can't say that I gave sacrificially. We pretty much cleaned out our bank accounts. But I can't say we gave sacrificially. Because we have so much. We were blessed with so much. What does God want us to do with what we have? Put it in His hands. Trust Him for the outcome. Invest in the ministry that He has for us. You look at a mother robin who feeds her young. They take, but they do not give. It takes spiritual maturity to put others' needs above your own. And I believe it shows a lack of spiritual maturity when we continue to receive the blessings from the Heavenly Father without learning to return a portion of those blessings. God wants you to give out of your love for Him. This is my concluding remark. God wants you to give out of your love for Him. Not out of need, not out of guilt, but out of love. God wants you to give because you love Him. God so loved that He gave. And He wants us to love Him so much that we learn to give to Him and the work that He has to do. And here's what I want to challenge you to do. And it's not just what you give in the church. It's what you give every day. When you're walking down the street and you see someone in need, and the Spirit of God prompts you to meet that need, just do it. Trust Him and do it. If you're in the line at McDonald's or Taco Bell or Chick-fil-A, and God prompts you to pay for the car behind you, God's Holy Spirit says, just bless that person behind you today. Just do it. Just do it. If you see somebody on the side of the road whose car is broken down and God prompts you to stop and help them and take some time and maybe change their tire or maybe even take the tire to the service station to get the flat repaired and you pay for the bill all along the way, if God prompts you to do that, just do it. Just do it. It takes some sacrifice. But my friends, that's what we're called to do as children of God. We're called to give. We're called to help. You see on Facebook or you hear about a neighbor who's going through a crisis and they have some need for some diapers. They got a young child in the house. And God prompts you to go down to Walmart and buy some diapers and leave them at their doorstep. Just do it. Just do it. Just give. Give. And give out of your love for Christ, out of your love for people. And it will make a difference for eternity. Just give because God so loved that He gave. And if we're going to be followers of Christ, we have to learn to be givers. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's pray together. Lord, teach us to be givers. Teach us to give willingly. Teach us to give liberally. Teach us to give completely until the job is done. And God, help us always be obedient to You when You prompt us, no matter what our circumstances in life, when You prompt us in our hearts to give to meet a need, help us to be obedient to that. Speak to hearts here this morning. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.